It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Gosh, we're almost at the end of July. If you haven't been out and just tearing it up in your backyard with grills or smokers or rotisseries or deep fryers or whatever it is that you like to cook on, it's time to get started. But I bet that most of the people here have been doing it now for a few months. But I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob is attending a family wedding on the East Coast. We'll talk to him a little bit later. So sitting in with me is Chaz, the Baritone of Beer. Always a faithful backup for me when Bob's out of town. It's good to have you here, Chaz.
Thanks, Jop. You know, those guys got to get off their mower, man.
Right. Yeah.
Let that grass grow a little bit and get some grill smoke going.
That's right. Exactly. You know, the grass has been this. Hasn't this been just like a crazy summer? We get dumped on with rain and then we get the high 70s, 80s, and even 90s. And grass grows in that weather, man.
It's growing fast. I got rabbits running all over the yard.
You know what? We do too. We do too. Like crazy amount of them in the neighborhood right now.
Come season, we might have to harvest some.
Yeah, right. Yep. It could happen. If the traffic doesn't get them, they're kind of, you see a bunch of those.
Oh, around your house. That's big trouble.
Right. Yeah. The dummies are doing that. But anyway, so speaking of grilling, I've been doing a lot of catering, an inordinate amount. I'm fortunate, but deals are finding me, and I've come to a conclusion, which is surprising to me, but the beans don't go no mo. I keep bringing, you know, I get a barbecue for 50, I'll get a barbecue for 70. I make a full hotel pan of beans for those, and they're good. I mean, people that like beans like my beans. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying we got to figure it out, right? I'm telling you, to a T, every one of the barbecues that I've done, there's at least half of the beans left over that I would have thought that they would have eaten. And I just think that they're good. I'm telling you, they're good. People love them.
Are we moving into the mac and cheese generation?
You know, and I'm getting requests for cheesy potatoes, and I've never gotten that before. That seems so much like a funeral or, you know, something like that, but people are switching over to
it's
the taters.
It's that cheesy thing. It's kid-friendly.
Yeah, maybe. Yep, I get it.
And so, the kids are having kids now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what? There's something to be said about that because, you know, I give away these barbecues to a lot of charities around. And then when I go deliver them, we talk about the menu and, you know, what else you want. And mac and cheese is way up there on the list if there's any kids around, right? And but we'll see. It's just been something I've been noticing in the last maybe 2 or 3 months that the beans, they're just not as popular as they used to be. I serve them warm. I don't serve them cold. So, I mean, I think it's as good as a bean can get, but it's just weird. You know, people's tastes are changing. So, and skinless, boneless chicken thighs, real popular.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
And I've noticed that on some of the events, we've started doing them. We got spicier ones and then just plain.
Right.
And the spicier ones going first.
Yep. So tell me about, because I'm all the time trying to up my game. Right. And when I say skinless, boneless chicken thighs, my go-to is a sweet teriyaki marinade. There's a brand out there called Mr. Yoshida, and you can find it in some stores. Bigger stores might have it, but I get it online because I buy it in a gallon jug because I use a lot of it.
I've seen it in your garage.
Right. So, and it's good, and you marinate the chicken thighs in it, but it's a flavor profile, and that's the one it's my go-to. Everybody likes it, but so what? When you say spicy, what would you do?
Well, instead of marinating, what we're doing is just an hour or two before, we're hitting it with some adobo.
Okay.
Just that cheap, generic Mexican universal spice. Turn that over in there with just a little black pepper. And if your adobo doesn't have that hint of garlic, add a little garlic powder in there.
Okay.
And stuff. And just let them rest with that.
Right.
And all that pump that normally comes, unless you go to Sobeys, in that thigh.
Right.
Is going to come out and hydrate the seasoning and lube it all around and turn it into a marinade.
Right.
And then I'm just grilling them.
Okay.
And, you know, if it's a small party, I'm grilling them and temping them.
Yeah.
But if it's a bigger party, I learned you only got to go up about 150.
Right.
On them. Throw them in the pan. They're going to coast on the way up and you're going to put them in a holding chafer or whatever.
Yeah. And generally what I do is because it's capacity, right? I've got the Tech as the only gas grill I work on. And I can get maybe 20 or 30, 20, 25 thighs on there at one time. And oftentimes I need 70 or 80 of them, right?
Yeah.
So I do them on the big, the smoker. And I'll smoke them because I can get them all on a rack. But you're right. I stop before they're at the 165, 170 where I want them. And I let them, put them in a pan and a little moisture on them. I'll use a little chicken stock.
Yep.
And then put a cover on it, whether it's foil or whatever you use. But cover them tight and they steam in there. There's more moisture that comes out of them. They hold really well. And when you get there, they're delicious.
I might have spilled a beer in there once.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's that too. Depends on who the audience is, but I don't think any little tyke. He just sleeps a little better tonight.
Oh, a little bit ain't going to kill him.
Right, exactly. I get it. So, but did you do anything good this week on the grill or the smoker?
Well, you know, I got that pizza oven like yours.
Oh, and oh I yeah, you're getting going on it. No, you didn't go camping. You went to the bring your own pool party, didn't you?
Well, that too.
Oh, okay.
That too. It's been a couple weeks since I've seen you.
Yeah.
But and I took the pizza oven to the bring your own pool party too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you guys don't know what a bring your own pool party is, everybody gets on Amazon and buys a $15, $20 blow up pool. And you go over to that friend's house that likes having parties but doesn't have a pool, doesn't really have a deck, no draw at their house except they're willing to spend the money on the water.
Right.
And let everybody fill up their little pools. And then pretty soon you got people jumping pool to pool and you put your cooler next to it. It's a grand time. I'm going to have to show you the video I shot with the drone.
I'm thinking that this neck is pretty red if you're going to that. But that's good, man. Hey, so I'm sure there's stories you can tell maybe not on the air about the jumping from pool to pool.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. But is this a suits optional thing? Or
no, everybody okay. Everybody pretty much keeps their suits on.
As far as the radio
sliding
goes.
Around.
Yeah.
And, but I had the pizza oven there for the night before because a lot of people come by and drop their pools off, fill them up so they warm up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want cold water.
You know.
And the headlights would be on. Woo.
Some of these people with well water, and it comes deep.
Right.
And so we had a little pizza party.
Okay.
And then the week before, I was camping, and I learned something you're going to be just floored over.
Okay.
That pizza oven works for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. It's hot, though. I mean.
I got some 5-inch cast iron skillets.
Okay.
I got a half dozen of them.
Sure.
I put them in a couple in at a time and preheat them. Get your big welding gloves on.
Yep, yeah.
You can do this on the grill, too. Just preheat them. I pull them out. I throw some hash browns in the bottom. I throw some sausage or ham chunks in there, and then I throw a crack an egg in there, kind of give it a fork back and forth,
right?
Not too complex. Throw some cheese on the top and slide it right back in.
Ooh.
And it makes this breakfast bake that then you pull it out, and I've just got these pieces of 2x6. I'm real fancy, you know, that I set the pan on and I in front of somebody, and they have breakfast.
Wow.
And then
not even a breakfast pizza. That's just breakfast.
That's just
good.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
And these little cast irons clean up at the campsite so slick.
Oh, yeah. If you got a seasoned piece of cast, all you got to do is put a little water on it and wipe it out with a paper towel, and you're ready to go the next time. Nothing sticks to those if they're seasoned right.
Yeah, and I mean, I carry one of those little stainless steel
chainmail
things.
Yeah.
That knocks any chunks off.
Yep.
Then you just pop them back in the oven, warm them up. To dry them, because you always want your cast dry. That way they don't rust.
Yeah.
Maybe a little oil on them.
Yeah.
And then you gave me a pool chemical bucket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A few of them.
So I washed it out.
Well, yeah.
And I cleaned it up real good. That's my storage unit now for the cast iron.
Oh, there
skillets.
You go. Yeah. We've got a handle on it and everything. You
it closed it up so the varmints don't get into it or anything.
Right.
And it's so easy to grab, throw into the camping rig, and off we go.
Wow.
And boy, my friends,
you know,
were
I'm
impressed.
Doing that this weekend. You know, tomorrow morning, that's going to happen. I got to try that.
Oh, Mama's going to be impressed.
Yeah, because I've got a couple smaller skillets. I mean, everybody, if you're a grilling guy, you got a lot of everything, but I got several skillets, all different sizes, and I know the exact ones I'm going to be using for that.
Yeah.
Could you make one for a little bit bigger one, maybe like an 8-inch or a 10-inch, and make it for two people?
Sure.
Yeah.
And it just worked out so slick. And they were so impressed. I had special breakfast cast iron.
Yeah.
I'm going, well, you know.
Right. Yeah. Was that a Meet 'em a thing or did you?
No, that was Bezos.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the fundamentals of grilling a little bit. Had a couple kids that were interested in learning the craft, so we had to teach them a little bit. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit GarrettsAppliances.com. That's GarrettsAppliances.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Hope you're creating some grill envy in your backyard this time of year. There's no better time than the middle of the summer to make it happen. I'm Jop. Barbecue Bob's on sabbatical. We'll be talking to him later in the show. But Chaz is with me, and we've been talking about a lot of stuff. But Chaz, when we were prepping the show last night, we had a little online conversation about mentoring the next generation. And I've had a couple younger kids. Where I live, I share a driveway. I'm on a cul-de-sac, right? And I share the end of the driveway with my neighbor, and they got three little kids. And surprisingly enough, it's the middle girl that is interested in learning how to cook on a grill. Now, she's like, I think 10 now, maybe. So, you know, it's like, okay, I think you can get this. I mean, you know, she's putting one and one together and figuring it out. And so the whole family comes over and jumps in the pool, and I'm going to make them hamburgers and hot dogs, right? Yeah. Just because they're over. It's my neighbor. And she popped out of the pool when she saw the food come out and walked up over there and said, and didn't, you know, she's a little shy. She's 10-year-old, and I'm the mean old neighbor. So she was interested, though. So I just started talking to her and asking her some questions. And the first one, Have you ever grilled anything? And she got shy, and she kind of like walked away. I said, it's okay if you haven't, but do you want to do it now? She's like, yeah, I think I do. So we set about, okay, before we do anything, we got to have some fundamentals, right? First one is that everything is hot, okay? And I don't want you to burn yourself, but just assume that everything around this grill, and we were going
to
do the gas grill.
You don't want to explain it to the neighbor lady why you burned the 10-year-old.
Right, exactly. So I said, so you understand you can't touch any of this. And she's like, well, how are we going to grill then? Fair question, right? So now we're getting the tools out. And I got a spatula out, and I do most everything on the grill with tongs. But you got to have some dexterity, and she's only 10, and my grill's elevated a little bit, like all of them are. And she maybe couldn't see in as well. So we had that discussion about it. And then, so what I did is I set up a table on the side, and I said, here, grab these hot dogs, and I want you to move them from this plate to that plate. And she's kind of looking at me, and I said, I just want you to figure out how to use these. So we took cold hot dogs before we were ever anywhere near the heat, and we put them from one plate to another, and I said, now move them back, okay? And then I said, now put the tongs in your other hand and try it. And she couldn't do it. I said, that's what you need to know. You got one hand that you can do this with really good, and you got another hand that is going to be a little awkward.
Did you teach her how to test the tongs?
What? Yeah, I mean,
with a couple of snaps to make sure they always go together?
Get your attention, yeah. And they got to come together at the tip. They can't mismatch. They can't go left to right. They got to come together.
You know, even when you're shopping for them in the store, you got to test them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we got through all of that, and then we went over, and I showed her how to light the grill, and we talked about you light the grill with the lid open, not closed, because you want air and the gas to mix, and that kind of confused her a little bit. But I just said, just remember, the lid needs to be up.
Yep.
And so we got the grill, and then she's like, grabs the tray of hot dogs. She's coming over. I'm like, no, honey, you got to let it warm up a little bit, because it'll cook better if we put food on a warm grill or a hot grill rather than a cold grill. And that took a minute for it to sink in, right? So you see where this is going, is that there was just the fundamentals of that, but it was the most fun I've had in a long, long time talking about how to grill something with somebody.
Yeah, hitting the basics.
Right.
I went through it with my nieces and nephews, and one niece in particular was, she went through a phase where all she wanted to eat was steak. And I'm like, all right, number one, if you're going to eat steak, you better learn how to grill steak properly.
Right.
And I think she was about 12 at that time. And we had some serious lessons. And, of course, her dad's more of a purist, so we had to go charcoal.
Sure. Yep.
And so we had the lessons about the chimney and how the evils of lighter fluid.
Yeah.
And all those things that her dad just goes off on.
Right.
And so, you know, grumpy old Uncle Chaz, he went in, we did that. And then my next step is going to be teaching her how to harvest steaks.
Oh, yeah.
In November.
Yeah, yeah, she's going to be in a deer blind.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. No, that's good.
But, yeah, teaching that next generation. Well, one, you know, we got a fair-sized family, and, you know, somebody's got to do the grill and get everything
right.
Prepped and, you know, set the grill up. And, you know, if we're going to grandma's house, make sure all the right tools are there and everything. And teaching that generation how to do it, I mean, you got to make sure they don't turn into idiots.
Well, there's that. So the next thing, because I was going down through this like a progression in my mind, and I'm like, well, so we got to talk a little bit about food safety, okay? A hot dog, indestructible, right? You drop it on the floor, wipe it off with a paper towel, you're still eating it. It doesn't suck up anything. It's a hot dog, right? But the hamburgers, right? And so we talked about, you take them out of the refrigerator, you set them on a plate and let them warm up a little bit because they grill better when they're closer to room temperature than if they're frozen. You can do it, but your product at the end is going to be better if they're a little bit warmed up when you grill them. Well, I had done that already in anticipation of them coming over, and there was a little blood on the plate, right? She kind of freaked out when she saw it. She's like, what's that? I'm like, well, all meat has juice in it. I use juice. I didn't use blood, right? But I said, all meat has juice in it, and you want that, honey, because it makes things moist and it makes them flavorful. And she, you know, that whole concept there was like, you know, got the tilted head a little bit, like,
Her dad's not a hockey puck chef, is he?
Well, her dad has a little round charcoal grill that's only like 12
Smokey
inches.
Oh, Smokey Joe, yeah.
Yeah, that's only like 12 inches. And it's got, what, like 6 or 8 inch legs on it, and he sets it in the middle of the driveway, and he gets on his hands and knees and he grills. That's just what they have, right? They're a young family and so on. So I'm never critical of that. But at the end of the day, that's what she thought grilling was until we did this, right? So once she got over that, and I said, no, that's a good thing. And then we took and told her that it's okay, but we got to cook these burgers and that'll all go away. Okay, so then it became okay again, right? So anyway, next thing was, let's put these things on the grill. And then we had to do some seasoning. And I have some salt, pepper, garlic mix that I use. So I said, let's put a little seasoning on these before. Well, what's that for? It makes them taste better. Easy enough, right? So I gave her the bottle. And, of course, the first one, she just dumped it on there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it's okay. And I said, that's a little too much, honey, right? And so we just figured it out. And so we got to the grill. We got them on there. She flipped them a little early with the tongs, broke one in half. She was, like, devastated. I'm like, no, this happens all the time. Everything's good. And we got them grilled. She had some questions about how we know it's done. And, you know, I had a thermopen there, which I always have. But so I showed her how that worked. But that was kind of a, you know, you got to use a thermopen just right, especially on a burger, you know, so on and so forth. So we didn't dive into that much. But the moral of the whole story is that she was so proud to show her family the stuff she had made on the grill for them. And they played along really well. I mean, they were oohing and aahing and saying it was the best burger they ever had and all that other stuff. So it was just a damn cool experience to go through all of that on my back deck.
Well, next time you're going to have to teach her about the duct tape of food, bacon.
Right, yeah.
And then the extra glue, you know, cheese.
Right, yeah. Oh, we did have cheese. I missed that part.
That,
yeah,
that holds those broken burgers right together.
Right, yeah. But anyway, so we had a lot of fun with that. And that was a good experience. And And I would encourage you that if you got any youngins in your area and they got any interest, get out there and show them to them. So coming up next, we're going to put a plan together. When you're feeding a bunch of people, you know they're coming over, you better have a plan. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out in your backyard getting ready to throw down on whatever it is that you like to cook on.
You probably got people coming over.
Yeah, right. I know we do. It's why we have a pool. It's why we love the summer. We get to see people that only come around this time of year.
The bigger the grill, the more people you can have.
That's right.
Down to Garrett's and upgrade.
Right. Yeah, there you go. I'm on the other end of that. We're going there later or early next week, and I need a new stove. But anyway, that's a whole other story. What I want to talk about, Chaz, by the way, Barbecue Bob's is at a family wedding in Boston. We'll talk to him in the next segment. So Chaz is sitting in. Appreciate you, brother. Let's talk a little bit about when people are coming over. I think that can get stressful for people if you don't have a plan. So
you got to do some project management.
Yep.
You got to start realizing how long does it take each of the items you're going to serve to cook. Now, like you mentioned, cooking your beans.
Yep.
You can cook beans and hold beans for quite a while.
Hours.
Yeah.
Right.
But your burgers, holding burgers is a little tougher. Now, you can do the things like putting them in an au jus bath and stuff if you're feeding a whole ton of people. But typically, if you're just, you know, 3-4 couples, you want to do them just in time.
Right.
And you want to get them when they're going to come off just when everything else is. So you got some asparagus over there. I know we're coming to the end of asparagus, but maybe you're going to grill some tomatoes or maybe you're going to grill some fruit to go with it. Whatever. You want to time those things out.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what those times are and knowing when to start stuff and knowing where the hot spots are on your grill.
Right.
Is going to be really, really strategic in those.
Right.
And we've learned with your pizza oven some tricks. When we're making them fast and we got the temp turned up.
Right.
We got to cook the pizza before we put the cheese on it.
Right.
Then we pull them out, we cheese it, and then we slide it back in just to melt the cheese.
Right. Finish it off. You bet.
But if you're on a little slower pace, yeah, maybe you can do them together.
Right. And with the oven a little cooler.
A little cooler.
Right. Yeah. We learned that the hard way. What was happening was we've got these little tabletop pizza ovens. Mine is called a Gosney. It came from Garrett's Appliances. Yours is a Uni, right? So either way, they're both quality pieces of equipment. But it's like any other grilling device. You have to learn how to use it and how it works best in scenarios. What Chaz was referencing is when I first got mine, I had him over and I said, we got to learn how to use this thing, buddy, right? So we were playing with it, and we let it get way too hot, and it was burning the bottom of the crust before the vegetables were even getting close to being hot.
Warm.
Warm, yeah. So we were eating crunchy vegetables on burnt crust pizzas. And that didn't work. So, you know, this whole timing thing, but we were also, we didn't have that many people there that first time.
No, well, but we were lucky that way.
But since then, we've made pizza for 75 people at a time, and you better have that down.
Yeah.
And know how long things take.
Now, some of the other things out there, you know, chicken isn't the same as burgers.
Right.
You put something big on like a steak, you know, you gotta know how long that's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, you talked about in the break, you got to sometimes coordinate with the people inside
right.
that are prepping the other dishes. You know, maybe the missus is making a salad or something or a pasta salad or something like that. Well, you got to know, is she got it ready? Or
yeah, and that's
ready?
One of those things that can be made ahead too. What we enjoy doing is broiling like cauliflower, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts. You mix them in a little oil with some seasonings and throw them on a sheet pan and then throw them in there under the broiler, and they crisp up a little bit, and the texture's wonderful. The flavor is basically the vegetable with a little seasoning, whatever you like.
A little balsamic on them when
you're
done?
Yeah, right. Yep. And yeah, exactly. Platter them up on a white platter, put those fresh, beautiful vegetables, drizzle a little of that dark balsamic on it. You know, if you've ever listened to the Grilling Guys before, you eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your mouth third. If it looks good and it smells good, you're expecting it to taste good. But
and your shirt fourth?
Right, yeah, right, yeah. Yeah. That's just for leftovers. Yeah.
We got Scott laughing on that one. He's had lunch on his shirt before.
Never. I've never had it. I might have it on there now. Who knows? But anyway, so, yeah, it's the whole timing thing because it's a pet peeve of mine. I love my wife dearly, and she doesn't listen, so I can say this. Most of the time, some of the time, she gets those vegetables done 15 minutes before I've got anything coming off the grill, and then they're cold.
Boiled corn sucks.
Yeah,
cold.
Right. It's got to be hot. And the same thing with the vegetables that came out of the broiler. They're done. They look the same, but when they're cold, they don't taste the same. Right? So it's that whole timing thing of getting it together and pulling it together at the right time.
You either got to be a team or do it all yourself.
Right.
And a lot of times it's just too much to do.
Right.
To do it all yourself.
Right. And you know, in her defense, oftentimes she's playing hostess and running around and helping people, waiting on people, and I'm doing the cooking. So I'm not finding fault. It's just something that happens from time to time, and it's just hard to avoid unless you're really on it.
Well, I know that even when you and I are out catering or I'm out with Dewey catering, it's always, this is when we start stuff, and this is when this has got to be ready. And
right.
You got to have that plan.
Yep. And if you've done it a few times, it comes natural. If you haven't, then you got to think about it. But there are things like that you talked about, Chess, corn on the cob. Okay, a lot of times I'll make cooler corn if I've got a lot of people. Right, you husk the corn, you throw it in a big one of your coolers, however many or ears you need for your group, and then boil up some water in my turkey boiler, right, or turkey cooker. I boil water on there, pour it in that cooler, and shut the lid.
Yep.
Okay. 10 to 12 minutes, it's ready. An hour and 10 to 12 minutes, it'll still be good. Right? So it's those little tricks like that you can do ahead, and that check the box, that's done, and you know that's going to be ready whenever you want to eat.
With my rotisserie on my big Weber.
Right.
I love putting 4 or 5 chickens on there for a crowd. And one of the tricks I learned was doing grilled corn. I don't shuck it or anything. I just trim all the loose off it, and I soak it. Grandma always taught me, you soak it in salt water and the critters crawl out.
Oh, yeah.
So you get all the whatevers out of it.
Right.
And then you put it wet underneath the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, now you're getting drippings.
And you're getting drippings, but you're also just turning it, and you're getting nice char on the outside of that husk.
Pretty. Looking good.
Oh, and people are just enthralled when you stand there with your big welding gloves on, peel those things back, and take a big chef's knife and cut it off.
Right.
And I've told you this before, but one of my favorite tricks with corn is to make them about 3 inches long.
Yeah.
Cut up that ear into about 3-inch chunks.
Right.
Because, you know, Scott might be shy about taking a second whole ear.
Right.
But he'll eat 4 of them short ones.
Right.
So it's not a, you know, it's just a presentation thing. It makes it finger friendly.
Yeah.
And knowing your audience is another thing to do with the prep. I mean, we're talking about the kids in the last segment and stuff. Are you feeding kids? You know, some of the gourmet stuff that we do might not be that appealing to the kids.
So right.
Maybe you got to put on some hot dogs.
Right.
Or just some simple burgers for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always going to go after that jalapeno popper.
Right.
But you can do some things like that spiral cut on a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes a hot dog look different. And
right.
The kids get excited about it.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, remember those hot dogs you had? That's all you want them to say.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And having some other finger sized food, that small piece of corn does things. And, you know, when they're young, a knife and fork is a big chore for them to run both.
Right.
You're happy that they're just using a fork,
right,
and not their fingers entirely.
Yep, yep. And it is. It's good stuff because If we can get them excited about this and get them comfortable around the equipment, and then they get to taste something that's really good as a result of it, that all starts to click in their mind.
And eventually they'll grill for you, and you can just sit in the chair and drink beer.
That's right. Well, now there's the moral of the story right there. I mean, it took us 2.5 segments to get there, but all right, now we know why we're doing it for the kids.
You got to train them up so that you don't have to do this at every family event.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? They'll take pride in it, too. But anyway, coming up next, Barbecue Bob is out in Boston at a family wedding. So we're going to give him a jingle, and whether it's butt, beans, or some other local flavor from Boston, I'm sure he's going to have a little narrative for us.
He's going to want to say Boston beans.
Yeah, he'll say it with some sort of accent that he picked up in the last 3 days. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat, dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we've been all over the board today talking about teaching the youngins that to get involved with the grilling and have a little fun with it and don't be afraid of it. Right, Chaz?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. So we got... You know, it's never the Grilling Guys show if Bob's out of town and we don't bring him back into the show. So now live from Boston, whether it's butts, beans, or some other local flavor, we're going to talk to Barbecue Bob. You
give
out there, brother?
Proof of life,
oh,
Bob.
Oh, I love your segues, Jop. That's a very good tie-in because everybody knows a Boston butt and Boston beans. So I like where you went there.
Yeah, I'm a grilling guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to one.
You're a segue grilling guy. Yeah, so thanks for calling and having just a wonderful time with my family. We've been through some rocky weather. We had some storms when we were at my daughter and son-in-law's house down in a town north of New York City, about an hour, and real close to White Plains. And we really, really seen a ton of rain. I don't know. How are you guys doing out there?
It's been rains, but it's been sunny every day, but you just get the cloud bursts to blow through.
Craziest year.
Grass is growing.
Anyway, being here, I'm trying to eat as much seafood as I can. We're transferring today to the Park Plaza in Boston, which is going to break the bank, but that's where everybody's staying. So,
well, la ti da. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be stealing towels and robes. That's for sure.
Yeah. Say hi to Thurston Howell the III. Yes.
Yeah, it's right up your alley, John.
Stop moving, Bob. You're breaking up a little bit. Did we lose you?
I think Bob fell into the sea.
You there, Bob?
Dead spot.
Okay.
Oh, there you
go. You're back now, so start over.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, stay by a window.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, we're transferring hotels right now, and food is fantastic. I was going to grill some oysters. So I got some Long Island oysters, but they were too beautiful to grill, so we just ate them.
Oh, you shucked them.
I don't know if you've ever had a Long Island or not, but they look like a scallop.
Ooh.
And they're like a sensuous piece of food. I'll tell you, it's crazy. Yep. But, of course, I'm with Emily and Matt, and Emily's just a great chef. She's, you know, she's the one that works for the Food Network, and she has picked up. She was good before, sure, but we trade recipes and encourage each other all the time, and she and we harass each other. Can you imagine that job?
Yeah. So you're telling me that she went away from home to learn how to cook? Is that what you're telling me?
That's not what I said at all.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
But I'll take it. I'll take it. Because the stuff she picks up is great. And she made a marinade for some skirt steak and chicken. We did tacos when we were at her house. And I'll post the pictures on our Facebook page.
Cool.
Her husband, Matt, grilled it to perfection, grilled some corn. And the marinade was really simple. It's really just like EVO and a vinegar or balsamic. And I think there was some garlic in there and some cumin and lime. And just pretty simple, orange juice.
Yep.
And that's a great marinade, actually, if you're going to chop up a butt into pieces. And what's that pork recipe? Sorry, I've got my.
You getting
assistant.
Coached?
Yeah. Anyway, carnitas. This is the one I do the carnitas with.
Yeah.
That's her recipe as well. It's very similar marinade. And if you ever want to make a pork butt turn out like lip smacking good and different from the way we normally do it, you know, just to break the profile, that's a great way to do it. And I think the orange juice and lime are what throw it over the top.
Yeah, the acid in there is going to break it down.
Yeah. Right? Well, it just brings you into a Mexican profile.
Yeah, cool.
Of course, one of my favorite foods.
Yep.
But that's what we're doing out here. We're just having fun. All my kids are here and their spouses, and no grandkids, so they get to relax. And we all know what that's like if you have kids.
You saddled a bunch of people with that duty because you got a lot of grandkids. They're spread out all over. If you got them all there and without their kids, good for you. I mean,
that's
a fun time.
My bride's part. She does all that. She's the orchestrator.
Yeah, we all have one of those, don't we? Yeah.
We need them. Yeah.
Maybe not Chaz.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
But so just a wonderful time. I got to see Matt and Emily's new house, and of course, I've been in Ossining for about a year, and it's first chance I've gotten to get out here. So just kind of cool, checking things off the list.
Yep.
And I love Boston. Haven't been here for 5 years. We're hitting some good breweries and just having a bang-up time. I get to see all my nephews and nieces and the in-laws, and it's just that good.
Good. What a great thing to do in the summer. And you got a wedding that happened, or is it happening on Saturday today?
It's tonight,
yep.
And it's going to be one of those events.
A really big show.
Yeah,
yes.
Yes.
Quite the shindig,
wonderful,
eh?
Two wonderful families coming together.
Yep. Cool. Well, good for you. All right.
Thanks
for making a minute to check in. I know these things can get busy, but get out and eat some really good food and take a couple pictures of those oysters, because that's an East Coast thing that we don't really really have a chance to do much of that here.
Yeah, if you ever get to Long Island, I'm telling you, there's nothing better than the afternoon of when they bring those things in, fresh that day. Long Island oysters.
Right. Yep.
All right, Chaz. Thanks again.
No worries,
and,
buddy.
Peace and love to the Grilling Nation.
Yeah. All right.
All right. See you, Bob.
Take it easy.
Okay. Bye bye.
So, you know, Bob's out there, and we've got to settle for like walleye cheeks.
Yeah, right. I don't think that's much of a settling if you got them. And like I said, I didn't make it down this year to walleye fish. My guy had a broken foot, and when I could go, he wasn't going. He's back doing it now. And let's take that rabbit trail. He's got new electronics, the ones that look out the front.
He's got LiveScope.
Yeah. And it's like a 14-inch screen on his boat.
They have them up to 27 inches
now. Really? God, it changes the game.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I mean, you're watching TV. You're not even looking at the water. He's like, right out there, about 34 feet, there's a school damn if you don't start catching fish, you know?
You ought to see us on the ice with those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one guy sits there at the side-by-side, and he coaches, like, 15 guys. go out there 30 feet, drill a hole. You'll be right on top of him.
Yeah.
And he sees my auger go through the ice.
Yeah. And he was, and I've not fished with him. He was describing it, but he said that you can see your lure.
Oh, yeah.
When it hits the water, you can see your lure go down through the fish, and you can see the fish swimming at it or swimming away from it. Or, I mean, it's like a whole new game.
Oh, the bass circuit is totally upended by it.
Right. I guess they're thinking about not, I guess outlawing's the wrong word, but banning them from tournaments and things.
Certain tournaments have gone no electronics.
Yep.
You know, like with our World Ice Fishing Championship, we're no electronics.
Yeah.
But they're doing that. During ice fishing, we have some that are like walking only tournaments where you can't take the side by sides and the quads and stuff. And it just kind of sets you at a different bar.
Right. It levels it out a little bit because the guy who's got the most money's got the most toys, and there it goes.
And if he knows how to use them, he's dangerous.
Right. Exactly. He's really dangerous. But anyway, so have you been doing any fishing as long as we're talking about that?
Oh, yeah. Heading out this afternoon, we're going to do a little bluegilling.
Oh, yeah?
Over Macosta way.
Okay. Water's not too warm now?
No, you just got to run a little deeper.
Okay.
They're going to be down over the edge of the drop-off. You just kind of bounce a crawler up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you maybe even, it's kind of like a bass drop shot rig, but you can just bounce that up the slope a little bit, and you'll get a good hit.
Yeah.
A little more work at it. You got to wear a big hat because the sun's out.
Right.
And don't want to get too crisp, and don't want your red neck to be too red.
Right.
But it's a good time of the year to still fish for bluegills.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, when you get back and, you know, fillet them up, take the skin off them,
right,
put them in just a light batter, quick pan fry them up. You don't even have to get out all the oil to deep fry them.
Right.
And, oh, my gosh. Do those with a little bit of, you know, spuds or fries or whatever you're cooking with it,
right,
and stuff. Maybe a little coleslaw. Man, people really appreciate that.
Do you season your fish at all when you cook it?
I season the batter.
Okay.
Now, normally with bluegill, we've kind of gone to dry batter.
Okay.
And so you're going to take a little bit of corn. I usually do a third cornmeal, two-thirds all-purpose flour in a Ziploc. I'll put in maybe some Montreal, maybe a little extra garlic powder in that.
Okay.
Shake it all up, and then shake the fillets.
A damp fillet, you drop it in there, shake it up, and it coated.
Enough sticks to
it. Yeah, all right.
To where you're not doing, you know, if you're doing beer batter, it's a whole different thing.
Right. Well, hey, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Chaz, thanks for sitting in for Barbecue Bob. You're awesome. I appreciate it, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.